Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, as we just heard in the words of this reading from Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples to go back into Jerusalem and to wait there for the fulfillment of that promise that he had made to them to send the Holy Spirit upon them, to fill them with power. But he didn't tell them how long they were supposed to wait. He just told them to go and to wait for that promise to be fulfilled. And they knew just what their Lord had told them. And so, because they trusted in him, because they had been with him for these previous 3 years, seeing all of the miraculous things that he had done and hearing his teaching, seeing him die on the cross and then rise from the dead, and now ascended to heaven, they trusted him completely. And so they went back and they waited. Now, even though they didn't know all the details of exactly what was going to happen to them when Jesus finally fulfilled that promise to send the Holy Spirit to them, and although they didn't know how long it was going to take, they simply went back to Jerusalem, even with the continuing threat of persecution from those same religious leaders of the Jewish people and the Roman rulers that they had conspired with to put Jesus to death. They still obeyed Jesus and went back to that city, even in spite of the danger, waited for Jesus to send them the Holy Spirit. Today, you and I are in a similar situation. No, certainly the exact circumstances are nothing like what they were for the disciples, having that threat of persecution and even death. And of course, also we have not been following with Jesus physically for the last 3 years, seeing him die and rise and ascend into heaven. But in one sense, like those disciples had to wait for an unknown length of time for Jesus to fulfill that promise that he made to them, God also calls on us to wait for the Lord. Now, perhaps you have been waiting for the Lord to answer some specific prayer request, something that you've been praying for, asking for God's blessing with, for God's help with, for perhaps for healing. Maybe you're waiting for God's guidance to show you the direction that you should go in your life as there's a critical decision that lies before you to make. Or perhaps you've been waiting for God's blessing to help solve some personal or some family problem. Maybe you've been waiting for God to bless you and to heal you from a prolonged illness, or to bless and heal a family member from an illness. Or perhaps you or a loved one have been infected in the more recent term, perhaps even with coronavirus, and you're waiting every day to see if your condition or the condition of your loved one will improve, waiting for God to answer your prayer for healing. Perhaps you're one of the many millions of people across this country and across the world who are waiting for the opportunity to finally be able to return to work. Or perhaps you're waiting for employers to finally start hiring employees again. Or perhaps you're just simply one of the many faithful millions of Christians who are waiting for Jesus to return on Judgment Day, to judge the world and to finally fulfill the promise of bringing his kingdom, of bringing us into his kingdom. Sometimes waiting for the Lord is not at all easy. Of course, we realize, as God tells us, that his timetable is not our timetable. He doesn't follow the exact schedule or timing that we might want him to follow. And of course, we realize that very often, or in fact always, that is a good thing for us. Although we might want something to happen right now or at a certain time, we know that God is far wiser, infinitely wiser than we are. God knows best when certain things are needed for us in our lives and for our spiritual life. And so we trust in God to do the right thing at the right time. But in spite of our trust, in spite of knowing that God is far wiser than we are, sometimes it's just simply so hard for us to be patient. Sometimes waiting for the Lord, waiting for Him to fulfill His promises, waiting for Him to answer our prayers can really be extremely difficult for us to do. Now, if we examine how the disciples, those first apostles of Jesus, waited for the Lord during that span of 10 days between His ascension into heaven and Pentecost, although they didn't know it would be only a 10-day time of waiting, as we see from their example, we can pick up some pointers for ourselves of how we can wait for the Lord in our own lives. So first of all, today's reading from Acts shows us that the disciples waited with an attitude of confidence, confidence in Jesus and in all of God's promises. We see that the last words that they spoke to Jesus before He ascended into heaven were, "Lord, is this the time when You are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, in one sense, we might think about that question again as one additional piece of evidence among many other pieces of evidence that the disciples still didn't fully understand what Jesus' work was all about, what His mission was all about. They'd been with Him for 3 years, listening to His teaching, seeing His work, His miracles, His crucifixion, His resurrection, and yet still it seems from this question that they still did not understand exactly what was going on, exactly what Jesus' mission was. It seems that they were still thinking that maybe Jesus was going to establish a political kingdom, an earthly kingdom, to drive out the Romans from the land of the Jewish people, and to once again establish a Jewish state, a self-governing Israel. But we also see that there's something positive here. The disciples' question to Jesus there also does show their profound confidence and trust in Jesus. They were sure that Jesus did indeed have the power and the authority to establish the kingdom of God. Whether they were thinking of simply an earthly kingdom, certainly driving out the Roman Empire would be a huge and amazing miraculous feat for that little nation of Israel by comparison to the mighty Roman Empire. But if they were thinking of God's kingdom on a spiritual level, certainly this question also shows their trust that Jesus had authority, that He was in control over all things in the universe, seen and unseen, and that He could bring God's kingdom, God's spiritual kingdom, to fulfillment. They believed in, they had every intention of seeing God's kingdom in all of its fullness and in all of its glory. In other words, they trusted that Jesus had this situation totally under His control, and He could do with it whatever He wanted at whatever time He wanted. And so when they asked, "Lord, is this the time when You are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In a sense, they were saying, "Lord, we are looking to You. We are trusting in You completely, placing our full trust and confidence in You to do Your will, to bring about God's kingdom." You and I also need that same confidence in our lives, but as we know, that confidence is not always there. Sometimes our confidence in our Lord grows weak. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes when it seems that we're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and the Lord just doesn't seem to be acting fast enough, as fast as we want Him to, or acting as dramatically enough to solve the problems that are before us, to answer the prayers that we've been praying to Him, at those times then the devil comes along and he says, "See, the Lord doesn't really care about you." Or, "The Lord doesn't really have the power to help you, to answer those prayers you've been praying. I told you so." Maybe we begin to listen to those whispering lies of the devil in our ear. We must admit that we have not always had full confidence in Jesus' power and his love for us. But thank God that through Jesus' sinless life in our place and through his bitter agony and death on the cross for us, we have full forgiveness for all of our failures, all of the times we have failed to completely trust in God and in his goodness and in his love and plan for our lives. May God assure us of this forgiveness. May we be absolutely 100% certain that all of these sins of ours, of worrying, of doubting, of losing our confidence in God's love for us and his strength, protection over our lives, may we be fully assured that all of those sins have been forgiven by Jesus. May God's Holy Spirit strengthen us so that in our future waiting, we will remain fully confident and fully trust in the Lord's power and love for us in our lives, no matter what the circumstances of our lives might be. Next in our reading, we also see the disciples waiting patiently for Jesus to fulfill his promise. They were certainly eager to know what was going to happen next. Just another in the series of amazing, exciting, astounding events had just happened. Jesus ascending into heaven. But all throughout the previous 3 years, their lives had certainly been anything but boring. As again and again, they saw Jesus perform amazing miracles, things that were scientifically, humanly impossible. Just miraculously healing people immediately from chronic diseases or illnesses or physical impairments. Displaying complete power over all the greatest forces of nature, even over death itself. So all of these things had filled the disciples with more excitement than they had ever dreamed or imagined of experiencing and of seeing for themselves. And so they were eager to know how it would all turn out, what the climax of all of these events would be. And so they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They had a pressing desire to know where all these events were leading up to, what the end result was going to be. Was the kingdom of God going to come on earth right now? Was it going to be established here in front of their eyes in all of its fullness and glory? Was it time now for the end of the world, as Jesus had told them about, as he had talked about the signs of the end and the events of the last day? But Jesus answered their burning questions of curiosity, telling them plainly, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority." So as curious as they were, as much as they wanted to know when the end of the world would be and or what all the events would happen surrounding the coming of God's kingdom, they simply had to resign themselves to patiently wait for it. And they did. They realized and they accepted it as something that God did not intend for them to know, at least not at that time. And so we see that instead of continuing to badger Jesus with questions, with more and more questions and asking him for more information about what was going to happen, they simply did what he said. They went back to Jerusalem. They waited. They waited patiently there until Jesus fulfilled his promise just 10 days later to send the Holy Spirit upon them. Well, that's the kind of patience that we also need as we wait for the Lord. We're so often tempted to lose our patience. We just can't seem to understand why God seems to be dragging his feet so much in answering these requests that we've come to him with, that we've placed before him. As we look at the world around us and see all of the suffering and sin, especially all of the difficulties of the past few months, we may sometimes wonder why the Lord just doesn't bring it all to an end, why he doesn't just simply resolve all of these problems and bring blessing back into the lives of everyone, or why at least he just doesn't bring Judgment Day right away and bring this whole world with all of its problems to a final end so we don't have to continue to suffer. Sometimes we might lose patience with him. Why doesn't he just come right now and put an end to all of this pain and suffering and sadness that is wreaking havoc all over the world and in so many people's lives right now? Well, the Apostle Peter answers that question for us in chapter 3 of his second letter. He says, "The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." The Lord tells us that he is delaying Judgment Day in order to give more people the time to repent and to believe in him as their Savior. God says he doesn't want to see anyone perish, to go to hell and suffer forever there in hell. So he gives us time, the time of grace, to hear that Jesus is our Savior and to believe that good news. And just as God has good reason for making us wait for his return, we can also be sure that he also has good reasons for all of the other times when he asks us to wait for him to fulfill any of the other requests that we have made of him in prayer. God's not just toying with us, just jerking the strings around as a puppeteer plays with puppets. God assures us that if he ever withholds anything from us that we ask him for, it is actually for our good, for our eternal salvation. God promises that at just the right time, he will enter our lives with every blessing that we need, that he will fulfill his promise to bring us to heaven with him forever. But in spite of all those promises of God, we must confess that we sometimes, perhaps even often, have lost patience with the Lord. How many times have we grumbled and complained about having to wait so long for something? I'm sure many of us have certainly been complaining in recent days and weeks about the difficulties, all of the many problems that have come along with this pandemic situation, whether it's physical illness or suffering for you or your loved ones, or the threat of danger for those who are working on the front lines fighting this pandemic and caring for the sick, or just all of the economic disaster and ruin and hardship that have come along with this situation. It has gone on so much longer than many of us initially expected. Why doesn't God just end it all? Why doesn't God just bring everything back to normal, to the way it was before? Well, thank God that through Jesus, we have forgiveness for these sins of our loss of patience with God, for doubting his goodness to us, for doubting his plan and his promise of love for us. Our holy God in heaven would not tolerate such impatient creatures as us if those sins of our impatience and doubt were not washed away by the blood of Jesus. Thank God that they are. Today we thank and we praise God for his assurance, his promise of full and free forgiveness for all of our sins through Jesus. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And also, just as we see the disciples in our reading waiting confidently and waiting patiently, we also see them waiting prayerfully. We read in verse 14 that after they returned to Jerusalem, all of them kept praying together with one mind. Jesus had certainly taught the disciples many things during the previous 3 years that they had been together with him during his ministry. And he'd also shown them, taught them by his example, many things as well. And one of those things especially was the value of prayer. And certainly Jesus did directly teach them about prayer He taught them the Lord's Prayer, after all, the prayer, the model prayer that we use regularly in our worship and in our personal devotions. He also taught them about the importance of being persistent in prayer, of not stopping and giving up, but continuing to ask God for His blessing. But He also showed them about the value of prayer through His own personal example. Even though He Himself is true God, and He always has full communion, full connection with God the Father, yet still regularly we see throughout the Gospels that again and again Jesus would go away to a quiet place, up on a mountain, up on a hillside, a quiet place, away from the crowds of people who were following Him, asking for His blessing and healing, even away from His own closest disciples, so He could be by Himself and pray, talk to God the Father, free from distractions, just Himself in personal communion, communication with God the Father. And so the disciples learned from these teachings of Jesus and from this example of Jesus that prayer is one of the most precious privileges that we have as God's beloved children. That because He loves us for Jesus' sake, He promises always to hear our prayers and always to answer them for our good in the way that is best for us. He's never too busy. He's never unwilling to hear whatever we pray to Him about. And we see that the disciples valued prayer so much that it became an essential part of their daily lives, an essential part of their waiting for God, for Jesus, to fulfill His promise to them. We see that they didn't just pray occasionally. It wasn't just a one-and-done kind of thing. But our reading says they kept praying. In other translations, it says they prayed continually. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that they did nothing during those 10 days except sit there and pray. Of course, they ate and slept and did other necessary things. But it does indicate that they persisted in praying. They continued to pray. They prayed again and again, day after day, during that time that they were waiting for Jesus to fulfill His promise. Do we wait as prayerfully for the Lord as those first disciples did? Does that great privilege of prayer always mean so much to us, or do we sometimes simply take it for granted? Well, certainly our waiting for God to fulfill His promises in our lives or to answer our prayers to Him would be much easier, much less burdensome if we would share that burden with the Lord in prayer. Think about that favorite hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer as we should. So often we fall far short in this area of our spiritual lives as Christians. How often our prayer life is ignored or forgotten because of the daily busyness that the realities of life that we find before ourselves. We find ourselves just running here and there to and fro, sometimes like chickens with our heads cut off, taking care of business and work and family life from sun up or before the sun rises to way past sundown. It can be so easy to forget or to simply feel too tired to spend time with God in prayer. Many of us must confess that our prayer lives are not what they should be. There have been times when we have certainly failed to pray to God as earnestly, as confidently, as persistently as He expects us to. But thank God that also these sins of a careless and even a neglected prayer life are also covered by Jesus' blood that He shed for us on the cross, by His innocent suffering and death. Jesus died on the cross also so that these sins of neglecting prayer are also paid for in full. And now, repenting of these sins and knowing that these sins are forgiven through Jesus, Let's ask the Holy Spirit to motivate us so that we make eager use of this great privilege of prayer persistently, day after day. God promises that our burdens will be lighter as we share them with Him, as we take them to the Lord in prayer, trusting and turning to Him for His blessing. He promises that our joys will be greater as we wait more prayerfully for Him. Today, looking back on this reading from Acts chapter 1, we've seen how the disciples waited for the Lord. We are all waiting for the Lord to return and waiting for God to answer specific prayers that we have brought to Him, that we have blessings that we have asked for ourselves or for others, for loved ones, and for the world around us at this time. As we wait for those answers to our prayers, let's thank God that through Jesus we have the full forgiveness of all of our sins, for all the times when our waiting has fallen short of what God desires, of being fully confident, persistent, patient, and prayerful. Let's ask God to strengthen us so that in the future our waiting will be more confident, more patient, and more prayerful. God grant it. Amen.